Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Everybody, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it is on blogtalkradio.com. Apologize for got a little late start here. There's always some issue going on. There's always a technical issue with Blog Talk, but we're going to work our way through it. Welcome back. Hope you had a great Labor Day. I know we're moaning and groaning about having to go back to work today after such a long weekend with a beautiful day yesterday. But, you know, you got to go back. Thank you, everyone, for joining me this afternoon. It's very good to have you here. Our new time, 6 p.m., Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. Give you a chance to get home, get yourself situated. Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So you can go to, you can go to Twitter, and my handle is Ron Kelly Radio. You can go there. You can follow me if you please. Finally, more followers than followees. It's a beautiful thing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But right now, you can go to my Facebook page as well. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. Let me start with this. So this afternoon, President Trump, this morning actually, and it didn't come as really no surprise to anyone. I mean, this White House has more leaks than, you know, I just can't even think of anything that has more leaks than this Trump White House. And so we kind of knew it was a foregone conclusion that the DACA, which was put into place in 2012 by former President Obama, DACA, which stands for Deferred Action of Childhood Arrivals, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions came out this morning around 11 a.m. and came out and said that this DACA, that President Trump would rescind DACA, which we all kind of knew he would. Now, just for those of you who don't know the particulars of this, it's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That's what the DACA stands for. And it's an American immigration policy. And it was founded by the Obama administration in June of 2012. Now, DACA allows certain illegal immigrants who enter the country as minors to receive a renewable two-year period of deferred action from deportation and eligibility for work permit. So in other words, these DACA children are children of grown-ups who broke the law and brought their kids into this country illegally. And President Obama put this executive order in place to protect more than 800,000 children of illegal immigrants. And these are children who were brought here. They had no other choice. Brought here as children. So when Attorney General Sessions came out this afternoon, he just came out and said that Trump, that President Obama rather, you know, overreached and he usurped the immigration policies of the United States of America. And he did everything but say that what President Obama did was illegal. I didn't hear the word illegal because I did watch most of the speech the Attorney General Sessions made from the Justice Department. And, you know, we're going to talk about this DACA and the situation with this. And we're also going to talk a little bit later on in the program about racism versus separatism. Racism versus separatism. And is there a difference? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think in the second half of the program. But for right now, this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Media Graphics. Go to MediaGraphics.org for smart posters, smart banners, video and digital displays, anything you need, Jim Oford is there for you. You can give him a call, 973-777-2202, 973-777-2202. Now, if you live anywhere in the continental United States, now you can go on the website. It's mediagraphics.net. That's mediagraphics.net. And the email address is media55 at AOL.com. That's media55 at AOL.com. Okay, so in 2012, President Obama created this executive order because, as you all know, we've had so many different issues with the immigration policy in the United States of America. No one was willing to step up. And for fear of voter backlash, no one was willing to step up and get this thing straightened out with who should be here, who shouldn't be here, et cetera, et cetera. Because, you know, people who were running for office were courting the Hispanic vote, and as well as President Obama. Now, so President Obama puts this DACA in place to protect certain illegal immigrants who entered the country as minors. Now, how it would work is they would receive a two-year period of deferred action from deportation and eligibility for work permit. So for those 2 years, the two-year period, which would be renewed every 2 years, they would have the luxury of living in this country here, the United States of America, and being free from fear of deportation, and they were allowed to work. So that President Trump, who has been reversing everything that President Obama ever did over the 8 years in office, once again, he terminates DACA. Now, this is something that we knew would happen. You see, because when President Trump, these are the promises that President Trump made to his base. And see, President Trump is playing to his base. And he doesn't really care, or he appears not to care about what average Americans, the people who don't support him. He doesn't seem to care what anyone else thinks other than his base. Because his actions, since he's been president for the last 7 months, have been kowtowing to his base. The Muslim ban and some of the other things that the president has done are directly kowtowing to his base. And that's why he has these rallies where he needs to go out and feel some love. So he goes into an area where he knows people are going to be breaking in next to see him, and he gets his fill of love. You know, the president likes to feel loved. So when he's not feeling loved, when things get a little tough in the White House, he holds a rally somewhere where he did well, Tennessee, Nevada, Ohio, someplace where he did well in the election. And he goes and he gets the accolades from his base. So with DACA, he's playing to his base. He's playing to his base. Now there's two sides to this story, folks. Because, you know, on the one hand, it is American, you know, it's the policy of the United States of America that you have to apply and you must be legalized before you can live in this country if you come from somewhere else. Now, that is the law, the immigration law of the United States of America. You can't just come walking in here, or the law states that you can't just come walking into the country and make yourself at home. You have to go through the legalities. You have to apply. You have to take the citizenship exam, et cetera, before you're allowed to come to this country. So now on the one hand, the question here, let me start with this. The question here is that should the sins of the parents be visited upon the children? That's the question. Should the sins of the parents be visited upon the children? And see, this is the question that President Obama had to ask himself. And yet the president told himself, no, the sins of the children should not be visited upon, the sins of the parents, rather, should not be visited upon the children. So with that, the DACA executive order was put into place. Now, again, on the one hand, You see, I'm as sympathetic as anybody else to the plight of some people who come here from religious persecution, from political persecution, poverty, can't feed the family, et cetera, et cetera. So I can understand that a person would come here, that would risk their lives to come here because they don't have a life where they're coming from. So I can understand why someone would risk their life to come to the United States of America. That's the best place in the world to live. And it's the only place in the world where you can start with dirt and you could wind up wealthy. Only in America is a phrase, but it's the truth. Only in America. So I can understand how desperate some folks are to cross the rivers and come from Cuba in rickety boats and stuff like that, and sharks swimming all around them. And so I understand why people would come here legally. I understand. But you see, but the law is the law. The law is the law. And we'll get into this a little bit more. We'll talk about the sanctuary cities and some of the people who have already come out and have said, you know, they're going to do A, B, and C to stop the president. The lawsuits are going to be flying all over the place. But now, here's my take. It is the law, once again, as I said earlier, it's the law of the United States of America. We have an immigration policy, and it's the law, and it should be followed. So if someone comes here, you know, you have to knock on the door. You can't just walk in. You have to knock on the door and ask permission to come in. You can't just go through the window, so to speak, and come into this country. And once again, I feel for the folks who are coming from places like Venezuela and you know, Colombia and some of the other places where there is no law for the most part. Law is how much you have in your pocket. You can create law with your pocket. But it is the policy, it is the law of the United States of America that you must come into this country legally. Even if you were brought here illegally because your parents committed a crime and you are the result of that crime. Because the parents may have already been these parents may have gotten separated from their children. The parents may have gotten deported already. So while I don't necessarily agree with the president, I do believe that the policy of this country should be enforced. And I do think that people, if you're here illegally, whether somebody brought you here or not, if you're here illegally, something needs to be done. You should not be a DACA case forever. Something policy needs to be instituted where you could come into this country, or rather, you can, if you've come here not by your own hand, then there should be something in the Constitution of the United States of America, something in immigration policy, or a path to citizenship, in other words. There should be a path to citizenship. Right now, there's no path. So these 800,000 folks who are DACA, who had DACA protection, are now unprotected. And there is no DACA for them. The DACA is no more. And you see, now, in the president, and I want to play this clip of the president talking, making a comment after he sent Jeff Sessions, the sacrificial lamb, sent Jeff Sessions out to make the announcement, because it seems like he was too cowardly to do it himself. So these 800,000 people now have 6 months to figure out what they're going to do. Many of them are school age, college age. Many of the kids, are going to school. Some of them have jobs. Some of them have already graduated from college. And some of them, they're doing really well. They're pillars of their neighborhoods, of society. But the law is the law. Now, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on about the racism versus separatism. We'll get into that. We'll segue into that right after this segment. but DACA was an executive order. It wasn't it wasn't immigration policy. It was an executive order that President Obama, out of frustration, put into place because the Congress wouldn't do anything about it. The Republican Congress at the time Obama was president did not want to do anything about it. You know, so here we have President Trump, as everyone predicted, this is the worst kept secret ever, that he would rescind the DACA protections for children who were brought here by their parents. So we're going to get into this a little bit more. We'll talk more about this, and we will talk, we'll get to our topic, our subject about racism versus separatism. Because now, you know, after the break, we'll come back. When I come back from the break, we'll talk about all the, you know, there was some protesters in front of the Trump Tower. Now, the president's in Washington and they're protesting here. I don't really get that. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about, you know, what this really means and what the real meaning is behind this with the president. I mean, what's the whole skinny on what the president is really trying to do? We'll take a break and we'll come right back and we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. It's the Ron Kelly Show and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETT Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. We're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's theronkellyshow.com. Let me just play this. I just want to hear this. This is Trump talking about how much great love he has for younger immigrants. Take a listen to this.
Tax reform and tax cuts, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you, everybody, very much. Well, I have a great heart for these folks we're talking about, a great love for them. And people think in terms of children, but they're really young adults. I have a love for these people, and hopefully now Congress will be able to help them and do it properly. And I can tell you, in speaking to members of Congress, they want to be able to do something and do it right. And really, we have no choice. We have to be able to do something. And I think it's going to work out very well. And long term, it's going to be the right solution.
Now, it's a great love. Now, that's love. I wouldn't want to see what hate would feel like. So Donald Trump says after he closes the door on 800,000 children of illegal immigrants, he says he has great love for them. Now, what great love? So the issue here is, the big question should be, welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, blogtalkradio.com. It's about 26 minutes past the hour of 6 p.m. It's our new time, 6 o'clock in the evening, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Go to my Facebook. You can put your comment there in regards to this question, or you could go to my Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. The phone number for this place right here, the phone number for the show is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Once again, 646-668-2838. If you have a question or comment about this DACA situation and whether the president is right or wrong to do it. And see, there's a lot of ways to look at this. I mean, I guess it depends on what side of the, and it's not even about what side of the aisle you fall on. It's about what side of this issue you fall on. This isn't even about, some things are made to be political when they're really not. Because I bet you when people were scrambling for their lives in Houston, nobody cared who was a Republican or a Democrat or a Black Lives Matter sympathizer or a alt-right sympathizer. Nobody cared about that when those rivers were swirling down the streets of Houston, Texas. Nobody really cared, Beaumont and some of the other places. Nobody really cared or thought about what your political affiliation was. And see, but some things are made to be political. And this Trump, this situation with a Democratic president creating an executive order and a Republican president ripping apart the executive order, one of many he has done so far since President Obama left office right after the inauguration in January of this year. So some things are made to be political when they're really not. And this here is not, it's not really necessarily political. Situation, but it's being made to be political because you have Democrats and people like Governor Cuomo of New York and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and some of the other folks, San Francisco and some of the other places that have already come out and said that they're going to protect DACA people and they're going to protect illegal immigrants who may be the parents of these DACA kids. They've already come out and said what they're going to do. So once again, the issue here is should the parents' illegal activities be visited upon the children? But once again, this is really clearly playing Trump playing to his base. Now, I think that there should be, if you don't want to have DACA, that's fine. But there should be a path to citizenship because these are people who, and I have my own, I agree with Trump on a lot of these immigration issues. I agree with Trump. I mean, he's heavy-handed about it, and he seems like to have less compassion than a brick. But I agree with many with some of his immigration policies, and I also agree with putting America first. And maybe not to the extreme that he's doing it, but I do agree that we need to take care of our own before we start taking care of other people. Now, these DACA kids who are descendants of illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, I think there should be a path to citizenship. There should be a path. They shouldn't just, if you want to rescind the order, okay, fine. But there should be a way for these kids to earn citizenship into this country because they're already here. Many of them going to college. They're contributing. And not all of them. There's some bad apples out there. Now, the bad apples, you should deport. But for the kids who have graduated from college, who are working, who are paying taxes, and who are adhering to the laws of the United States of America, they should be given a chance. They should be given a path to citizenship. Because even here's the thing. Now, what in the world would make anybody think that a Republican-led Congress is going to turn around and even try to salvage Obama-era executive order? I mean, what would make you think that? I mean, that is further from reality than a lot of things I can think of. No, I really don't think that Congress is going to try to save DACA or try to make it so these kids can get a path to citizenship. They got to do what they always did. They got to do what they did because Trump is sending a clear signal that he wants these kids to be deported. He's sending a signal, and Congress knows what the president wants, and many of them have just been too afraid, although they had a lot of bad taste in their mouth behind some of the things that the president has done and the things that they have had to stand behind him on. I mean, you look at the video of Trump talking about DACA, and you can see Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, sitting there next to President Trump, and he's like he's sitting on a chair full of nails. They can barely stand to sit next to him. So Trump has done a lot of things to put bad taste in these people's mouths, but because they're Republicans, they have to support them. They're towing the party line. So, once again, my conclusion is that there should be a path to citizenship. You know, find out what the status is of these 800,000 people, you know, the bad ones, the MS-13 members or whatever ones are in South Central or whatever who are doing wrong, then they should be deported. If they're not leading a constructive life, they should be deported. But the rest of the people, the children who have gone, well, they're not the young adults now, but the rest who have gone to college, who have worked hard, who are working hard, and who are contributing to society and not being a menace, they should be given a path to citizenship. But what would make anybody think that this Congress is going to try to give a path to citizenship when, after what Trump has done? See, this is the classic passing of the buck. You know, this is like giving somebody a dollar, but you know they're going to give it back to you. You're just doing it for show. And this is what's happening right here. Trump knows that the Congress is not going to do anything. And see, he, even though he's playing to his base, he adeptly put this in the lap of Congress. Because he doesn't want to upset his base. If Trump came out and said, okay, we're going to rescind DACA, but we're going to give these people a chance to pass citizenship, his base would be crazy. The alt-right, the neo-Nazis, the kook fringe neocons, and all these people who love Trump would have been nuts had he given the DACA children a path to citizenship. They would have went nuts. See, because these people don't want, the people who support Trump don't want immigration, period. See, the other side of the coin here is that there are black people in this country who are legal aliens as well, who have come from Africa, Haiti, Dominican Republic, some of the poorer, areas in the country, black Haitians and dark-skinned Cubans and such. Many of them are going to be affected by this as well, not necessarily because there are parents of black, parents of Jamaican kids, there's parents of Haitian kids who have brought their kids here and they've gone on, some of them have passed away or whatever the case may be, the kids have grown up and moved out. And so this is not just about the Hispanics, it's about black, it's about, there may even Asian kids who were brought here by their parents. So there's going to be a lot of people. Who knows what the racial makeup of this DACA group is? I mean, like, nobody knows. Verbatim. It's probably mostly Hispanic, but there are other ethnic groups that do it as well. So we'll see. But I say that they should get DACA. DACA, an executive order should not be an executive order should not be assumed as being this executive order should not be assumed as being a law. It should. It's an executive order protecting a certain group of people, and that shouldn't be. But there should be a path to citizenship for these people, but they're not going to get it. Because Trump has shown that he doesn't want them here. He says he's got great love for them. I'm like, really? I just played it a couple seconds ago. But they should have a path to citizenship. But don't hold your breath. Because for these 6 months, Congress is not going to do anything. And DACA will wind up being rescinded. And many of those people who came here with their parents are going to have to go back somewhere where they've never been, many of them, or don't remember anything. He brought his babies, brought his toddlers, 5, 6, 7 years old. They don't remember anything about their country. All they know is America. So it's going to be difficult for these people. But I don't think that an executive order should be immigration policy. No matter who wrote it, I don't think that it should. No more than I thought that President Trump's executive order banning Muslims, I don't think that that should be a part of immigration policy of this country either. It just shouldn't be. So, well, good to have you guys here. Hurricane Irma is on the way. Most powerful storm ever. And, you know, you notice how it's, you know, ever is the words being tossed around, you know, the worst ever in history. You notice how these words are being tossed around. It's very eyebrow raising, I should say, that these words are being tossed around. This Irma, 175 miles an hour winds, the most violent storm on record in the Atlantic. So we just had record-breaking rain from Harvey. Now we're going to have record-breaking wind. And we got another storm that's heading in right behind Harvey with winds of 185 miles an hour. Worst ever. You notice that lately these words have been tossed around. Makes you want to think. Makes you think. All right, here's what we do. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about racism versus separatism. Is there a difference? Is there a difference between racism and separatism? I'll tell you in a minute when we come back. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Chicken's on the shortbread, daddy not bought. How many chicken? Chicken's on the shortbread, daddy not bought. How many chicken in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to my LinkedIn people and all the folks I chit-chat with on social media. LinkedIn is no longer a networking place for professionals. It's a place where politicos argue and insult each other. This is what's happened to LinkedIn. But shout out to you guys anyway. It's Ron Kelly Show. It is on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Ron Kelly Show. Like the page, leave a message, you know, something you're concerned about. Comment on some of my many posts I post there throughout the day. Give me a shout. Let me know you're listening to the program. And on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio. So you can follow me. You can read my tweets. I'm always tweeting something relevant, not just some nonsensical garbage. So you can check me out on Twitter, Ron Kelly Radio, as well. All right, we're back. It's about 17 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock, everybody. It's our new time. It's 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on the Ron Kelly Show. All right, so we were talking about Trump and DACA. And, yes, I do think there should be a path to citizenship. But we all know that the Congress is not going to do a damn thing. And DACA is going to be rescinded. And many of these folks, unfortunately, will be going back to countries that many of them had no memory of. It's like me going to Africa. I mean, what am I going to do there? I don't know anybody there, and I've never been there. So I'm going to, you know, if I got deported and they sent me somewhere like to Africa, I'd be lost because I'm an American. But this is what some of these DACA kids are going to be facing, because the Congress is not going to do anything. I promise you. The Congress is not going to do anything. Yes, I said it is September 5th, 2017. I'm putting it on record right now. The Congress is not going to do anything for the next 6 months, and DACA will fail. Because it's not going to be a path to citizenship. Because there are many folks, many people in America, many of Trump's, and not just Trump's base, but some of the other Republicans and the right-wingers, the Freedom Party, et cetera, many of their supporters want America first, too. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'll tell you, I doubt that anything is done. All right, so racism versus separatism. Now, there are plenty of folks out there who are saying that President Trump is a racist. And I just, you know, call me naive or whatever you know. As long as it's something respectable, call me naive, but I just don't think that President Trump is a racist. And yes, he's done many things, and I understand how people feel about Trump. He's done many things to if he's not one, he's sure looking like one. And I understand, those of you who listen to the program, I understand that you may look at him that way. I understand you might look at him that way. See, but there's a difference between racism and separatism. I've worked with someone who is a separatist. He's white, and he's I don't consider him to be a racist, because he still interacts with folks that are not, you know, he's not one foot in, one foot out. But there's a difference between racism and separatism. Like I said, I know a person who I work with who I know is is of a certain mindset in regards to whites and blacks. But I just don't see him as a racist because he's not vicious and violent. He's not, you know, he's a normal guy. He works with us, and there's a lot of black people who work where I work when I'm not doing this show. And he's a nice guy. He's pleasant, and you know, and he's helpful, and he talks to people who are not white. And he's just a nice guy, and so he's not racist. It's racism, this anger behind racism. See, those folks, the alt-right, the ones who went down to Charlottesville and started all that crap, those people are racist. See, the separatists don't go out and, you know, march and these type of things. Separatism just don't want to live around us. That's it. They just don't want to live around us. They don't want black people in the neighborhood because the property taxes go down. And the property taxes do go down. Property taxes do go up and the housing prices do go down when black people move in the neighborhood. That's a well-known fact. Certain things happen to a neighborhood when black people move in. That's just the way it is. Is it wrong? Sure, it's wrong. But black people are seen as people who are derogatory to the neighborhood, who have a negative impact on the neighborhood. And let's look at some neighborhoods, for example, now. We're here in New Jersey, Montclair, New Jersey, very nice suburban, mostly white town. And, you know, as a kid, I remember some places in New Jersey, for example, down the shore. Some places down the shore, Lakewood, and you know, some of these other shore towns that are overrun with gangbangers and some of these other things that are going on. So, a person who is a separatist just doesn't want to live around anyone else. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with people, with folks not wanting to live around other folks. I don't see anything wrong with that. And you see, there's no hostility with separatism. They don't dislike you. They just don't want to live next to you. So if somebody doesn't want to live next door to you, is that being racist? Go to my Twitter and tweet, you know, whatever you want to tweet on my page. Go to my Facebook page and you can write whatever you want to write. You think I'm crazy? Or whatever, it's 49 minutes past the hour. If you think that I'm crazy, then go to my Facebook page. Go to my Twitter. Because I just don't think that people who don't want to live next door to someone of another ethnicity, I just don't think that they're racist. And see, racism is there is racism now, don't get me wrong. But sometimes we are too quick to toss out the race card. I don't think President Trump is a racist. I just don't. You think I'm crazy? Okay, fine. Call the show, 646-668-2838. I don't think that President Trump is a racist. I just don't think so. I haven't seen him do anything that's out and out blatantly racist. Now, the DACA thing. Now, the first thing people are calling President Trump a racist. I just don't think he's a racist. Is he unsympathetic to the plight of illegal immigrants? Yes. Is he unsympathetic to black folks? I mean, he turned down two invitations to go to the NAACP convention, but he went to the veterans. He went to the VFW convention, Veterans of Foreign Wars. He went there. But he wouldn't go in front of black people. So does that make him a racist? Because he didn't want to go to the NAACP convention? Does that make Donald Trump a racist? Or because he didn't campaign in black areas when he was campaigning last year? Does that make him a racist? I just don't think so. Is he heartless and cruel? Yes. Does he care about anybody other than himself? No. But as far as him being racist, I just don't see any. And again, the difference between racism and separatism is what the motive. It's the motive. The motives. Racism, hate breeds racism. So if you, it's not about whether your property tax is going to go down for racists. They just don't want you, you or anybody else around, period. Whether they're, you could be Oprah, they wouldn't want you to live next door to them because they're straight up racist. They don't want to have anything to do with any type of black person. That's racism, with hatred, where you want to hurt, harm, or kill somebody who's not like you. That's racism. Racism is burning somebody's house down, scrawling graffiti on their wall, burning a cross on their lawn. That's racism. Separatists, you can know somebody. Black folks who listen to the program, you probably know a whole bunch of people who are separatists. They're cordial, they're polite, and they have conversations with you, and they say good morning to you, but they don't want to live next to you. They're glad that you go one way and they go the other when you leave your house. But they're not racist. They just don't want you around. So we're quick to throw out that race card, like they say, you know, we're quick to throw it out. But the difference between separatism and racism is hate is the engine, the gas that drives racism. Hate. That's the gas. But separatists, you know, kind of live in reality. Like, okay, I can, you know, as long as you don't live next door to me, I can deal with you. As long as I don't, you know, you don't go to the same church I go to, I can deal with you. This is a separatist point of view. Separatists don't hate you. They just don't want you around. I know a lot of you out there probably think I'm crazy. It's about 7 minutes before the hour. A lot of you out there probably think I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, if you think about it, you probably know a lot of people who are separatists. But yeah, they'll never say anything. But there's a lot of folks in there where you live, where you take the A train and they take the 6th Avenue subway. You take the A train home. Yeah, a lot of them are happy as hell that you're not around. I'll see you tomorrow. Is that racist? No, that's not racist. You hurt someone of a different race. When you come out and protest, see, because the alt-right are not separatists. They're like racists. They hate the Jews too. Many of these Aryan groups hate the Jews. So no, I say no, racism and separatism are two different things. Racism is breeds hatred. But once again, you may know, if you work in an office, there might be 8 to 10 people there who wouldn't want to live next door to you. But they can talk to you at the water cooler. They can have a conversation with you in the break room. They can even go out to lunch with you. And these people, they just don't want you around. What you represent, black folks, when they move into certain neighborhoods, their neighborhoods do go down. Is it unfair? Sure it is. Especially if they didn't do anything. They purchased their house. They got a mortgage just like anybody else. Quicken or whoever they went to and got a mortgage, they have the right to live there. But you see, even Giant, one of the New York Giants, the beloved team, the stadium is packed with white folks. It's a perfect example. But that football player played for the New York Giants. screaming his name during the game, but when he got home, there was graffiti all over his door. That's racism. That's racism. That's not separatism. That's racism. So again, you seek to destroy, maim, harm, or kill someone, that's racism. But if you just simply don't, you know, but again, at the coffee machine, in the break room, at the water cooler, they have a conversation with you like anybody else, treat you with respect, as if you need anything, you would never know. And that's what separates us all. You don't even know that they feel the way they feel. You don't even know. You don't even know. So racism is anger, hate. Separatism, they just don't want you around. So we need to be careful when the way we use these words. And see, now Trump, I don't believe is racist. I just don't believe it. That he's a out and out, dyed in the wool racist. I don't believe that. Do I believe that he's anti certain people? Yes. Do I believe he doesn't care about certain people? Yes. But is he a racist? I can't bring myself to say that he is. It's less than 3 minutes after the program, everybody. I want to thank you guys for checking in with me. I see the ratings have gone up slightly since we moved to a different time, so I appreciate that. I'll be checking and looking, and then we can get back to our glory days when there were thousands of people listening to the program and downloading the podcast. By the way, if you want to download a podcast of the Ron Kelly Show, just go to blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. And there's more than 100 shows there on the Blog Talk website. More than 100 shows going back a few years. So you can listen to some vintage R. Kelly Show, or you can listen to something a couple months ago, or you can listen to this program, or you can encourage someone else to listen to this program on blogtalkradio.com. So you can go to the Blog Talk Radio website. Once again, blogtalkradio.com/The Ron Kelly Show, and you can tap in to more than 100 Ron Kelly shows over the past couple of years. And these Spreaker fans out there, you can also go to Spreaker, The Ron Kelly Show, and you can copy of The Ron Kelly Show while they're still free, because we're going to be selling them pretty soon when the show goes where it's going. So, I don't think Trump is a racist. You think he is? All right, well, you can holler at me. Once again, Twitter, Ron Kelly Radio, Facebook, The Ron Kelly Show, Instagram, Real R. Kelly 1 on my Instagram. All right. All right, so we're going to break out of here. I want to thank you so much, everybody. It's humid. It's I don't know what out there. Rainstorms in the northern New Jersey area. It looks dark already, and it's only 6:59. But anyway, everyone, take care of yourself. We'll be back here next week for another edition, another great edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, definitely take care of yourselves. Pray for those folks down in Houston. If you can tweet, if you can text to the Red Cross, whatever, and give $10, whatever you can give to those folks as they really need it right now. Peace be upon the 45 or so people who did die, and a police officer whose wife had mentioned to him not to go. I don't have his name offhand. We got 20 seconds left. But who went to work anyway and did not return. Okay, everybody. So thanks so much for joining me. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And everybody, take care of yourself. We'll be back here next week. And just be safe out there.